it came out fine last time, I'm going to trust it to come out fine again.
Sounds good to me.
So, this is no longer Breakfast with Douglas and Andrew.
Well, technically it is.
Well, there is breakfast involved, but sadly you're not eating with us.
This is true.
Ryan, how are you doing today?
To quote a recent movie, I am rolling. It has been a very good day for me at TIFF. I am ending this festival with a bang. I'm Ryan McNeil from the Matinee Cast, by the way. Hello, Tump listeners. Welcome to my hometown. It's been a very good day to cap off what has been a very good festival.
Yeah?
Yeah. At least for my schedule, I picked very well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it is the end of day 10.
It is.
There's one day left. Douglas, you're here.
Yes, I am here.
You're still alive.
I made it. Haven't got my wrist quite yet.
How much do we have left?
How many films?
Yeah.
Two.
You have two.
I have two plus the choice if I watch it.
And I have one plus the choice. So we're coming off to an end, and we just walked out. Not walked out, sorry. We just left. Ended witching and bitching.
Lots of both, too.
Yes.
So you guys have to tell me what this movie is about, because
there's a lot more witching than there are bitching in this movie. It's about a jewel heist. First of all, I'm gonna pause here because it might actually be the best shot heist sequence I have ever seen.
Yes.
Jesus gets involved. SpongeBob gets involved. SpongeBob takes two in the chest.
I heard you say Jesus out loud when he showed up.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It was both a declaration and a question mark. Yes. Jesus? Oh, Jesus. Yes. So they knock off this gold exchange establishment, and while they're on the run, they run headlong into a coven of witches who, wouldn't you know, just happens to need some gold.
And all of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like every witch. Like, and they also need the crew who knocked over the jewelry store for their sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That's what this movie's about. And hilarity ensues. And I do mean hilarity ensues.
So I will refuse to comment, as I took enough naps to not want to go there. Douglas,
I heard you
love this movie.
I really like this movie. And while I really enjoyed R100, which was the Midnight Madness from, I think, two nights ago, I would say about R100 that I really liked it because of Midnight. And outside of Midnight, I probably won't like it. But I think this movie is just awesomeness on its own. I love it. I would kind of compare how much I love this movie to how much I love Cabin in the Woods.
Wow.
I just enjoyed the shit out of every part of this film. Like, even the way that throughout the heist, throughout when they, you know, meet the witches, they'll be in these serious situations and then just kind of go on this tirade about women or about just something completely different.
Yeah.
And that's just funny. It's hilarious. It's really enjoyable.
So over these dispatches that I've been doing, what I've been trying to do is just generally go over like what our highlights are.
Okay.
Over the few days, we've spoken repeatedly about certain films. I'm curious, over the last like 4 or 5 days, the back half of the festival, because that seems to be when I'm talking to the better half of your festival that you planned out.
In the past, yes. In years past, it's been more spread evenly.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, for some reason, my festival was very backloaded. Like, I got to Tuesday, and only one film had really, really affected me. Everything else was just varying degrees of okay. This year, it's been far more consistent,
mm-hmm.
and I picked very, very well. There have been only two films that I did not care for.
Yeah.
Everything else was either good, very good, or holy crap, that movie was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now up to 20. I think I was number 25.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to end with 27. So of 25 films, 23 were what I would consider money well spent.
Okay.
In the back half, things have gotten crazy.
Yeah.
That is one thing I will say in the back half is the lunacy has come out to play.
Yeah.
Because just in the last 48 hours, I have seen R100, Mobius, and now Witching and Bitching.
So Mobius, I think that's a good place to start, because
it's a great place,
that's one we've all seen. And for those of you who didn't listen to our preview episode where I kind of read off the synopsis of Mobius, it's about a family where the son is castrated.
Yeah.
Because the father has been unfaithful.
Right.
And the movie just goes from there. I thought it was 90 minutes when I watched it, but someone told me it's over 2 hours.
No. Huh? It's brief. It's 2 hours tops.
Okay. It's somewhere in that region.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. And it has not one word of dialogue.
Nope. No, it does not.
We have... You kept a talent account of the walkouts in
13.
Your screening.
13 walkouts. I was seated near the door,
yeah.
So they all had to pass me. You know, there were walkouts when you saw it the night before, so I just thought, hey, I'm going to keep an eye out for this.
Well, when I saw it, like, I was sitting close to the front, I was in the rest.
Okay.
So I couldn't see.
Right.
If there were that, like, I knew one that walked
you
out.
You sat in close for this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. No, that ain't right. That is not right.
We sat sadly close to
this. We were just about in the same position that we were tonight.
Oh, man. No, I could not do that. This movie. Like, we were sitting in the fourth row of the actual, like, bank of seats, and even that felt a little too close. I kind of feel like we're putting the fear of God into people about Mobius.
We haven't even talked about it.
You know what? I think we should, though.
This is true. Like, you know, here's the thing. If you're curious about Mobius, if you can even get your hands on it, because I don't know how this thing is going to ever see the light of day, it'll show up on Blu-ray somewhere. It'll be like a region 2 or something.
Just check Yes Asia.
Yeah, do that. Sit down and give it 10 minutes. If you can get through 10 minutes, you'll be okay, but just know that there's a lot more coming where that came from.
Yeah.
But if after 10 minutes you're thinking, oh shit, this is not for me, that is the point of no return.
Like, I remember reading that synopsis and thinking that was a very meaty synopsis.
Yeah.
And then finding out that's the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, how did the movie play for you? Like, did you enjoy the movie itself? Or is it just this litmus test to see
enjoy?
Who can
enjoy is a very strange word. Yeah.
Yeah, to use this movie.
I was with it. Like, let me put it that way. I was deeply engaged. I cannot remember more of a movie that I watched with, like, my jaw down around my lap.
Yeah.
With just the shock factor of this movie, and like both visceral and cerebral. Like, there's a lot of mind fuckery that goes on in this movie.
Yeah.
That's marvelous to behold. So on that level, like, I probably will never revisit this film. I'm not sorry I saw it. That's for sure. You guys were putting the fear of God in me on Thursday night. But come Friday afternoon, I was happy as hell that I had actually put up with this.
Like, I mean, I was worried, like, that night, because I purposely didn't talk about it much. I'm just like, oh, you're seeing me. I want to hear how that goes.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then slowly but surely, I heard everyone around you kind of starting to nibble things out.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know if he's listening, and I hope he's not.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I tuned it out. So everything I saw was a complete surprise. I actually didn't even read that deeply into the synopsis in the book. So this was as close to a blind screening.
So why did you pick it in the first place?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it was because there was a hole in my schedule, and I saw that a lot of people had their eye on it. I have no idea why I went to see it. No clue. But I'm not sorry I did.
So Douglas, Mobius.
Mobius. Oh my God. I adore that movie. So essentially, Kim Ki-duk, who is an awesome director, watched Antichrist and said, I can do better than that. that's really what happened. And guess what, guys? I think he did.
Yes.
So funny to me when I was telling Douglas about how I was looking forward to this movie. And when I read him the synopsis, and he just went, but that's Antichrist. And you hated Antichrist. What's wrong with you, Andrew?
No, this is something very different.
It's as if Korea made it. And Korea makes things better as far as I'm concerned.
I'm convinced there is a great big game of one-upmanship going on in Korea. I swear to God. Like, every time somebody throws down something that's just really, really visceral, some of the directors like, I can beat that. It's you know what it is? It's dudes around a campfire is what it is, you know? And they're each out to tell the better story of one-upmanship. That's what it is. That's the whole country of South Korea right now.
Well, I am in fear of whoever wants to beat this movie.
I bet you it will be done.
Yeah. Bong Joon-ho can do something. Perhaps.
So Mobius was my dive into the deep end of a very cold pool. But then today turned into something very different. Today was my I think it was my first four screening day, actually. I think every other day I've gone like three or even some twos. And I began the day with Can a Song Save Your Life, which is messy, and some may even just go so far as to say it's a bad movie, but to me it played exactly like what I needed. It is a movie for people who like music, both to listen to music and to produce music, and it stars Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, and Adam Levine are the main three characters, and they all have a fantastic chemistry with one another. Knightley and Levine are ex-lovers. Knightley and Ruffalo are producer, singer-songwriter. Yeah. So there's two very different relationships going on, and it's awesome.
On the meter of one side being Once and the other side being Janie Jones, where is? Because I can't believe it's as good as Once.
No,
and I can't believe it's as bad as Janie Jones.
No, it's not.
Where does that movie fall?
It is smack in the middle. There are moments in it that are every bit as beautiful as much of Once, without the simplicity and without a little bit of the honesty. Like this is much more of a script, whereas Once almost at times felt like a documentary. That's not a bad thing. You know, it's. I've said sometimes music is messy.
Yeah.
You'll go to a concert and the lead singer will miss a note or they'll miss a solo or something like that, or you know, there'll be something a little bit weird that happens, and that's okay. That's part of music. That's why we love it, right? That's why we love to sing it, why we love to listen to it. And this movie has all of it.
Okay.
Douglas.
Yeah.
What have been some of your highlights for the last few days?
The last few days? Well, since we've spoken, actually, there haven't been many real huge highlights. But one I would say would be actually Sarah Prefers to Run. I really enjoy that movie. It's a French-Canadian movie about a girl named Sarah
who likes to run. Right.
Everything else comes up and she's like,
wouldn't it just mess you the fuck up if it was like a slasher film? You know?
If it was Mobius.
You know, it would make sense if it's a slasher film because then she would like to run away from the slasher.
Right,
person.
Yeah.
But this movie is great. I mean, it's really just this coming of age movie about this girl who, you know, who am I and what do I want to do with my life kind of thing, and what decisions do I need to make in order to become that person that I need to be. And it's just as simple as that, and it's just wonderfully paced. I know Andrew hated it, but that usually is the
scale
the
by which
sign
you decide
that it's a great movie.
Yeah, you know? It's you know that is the one funny thing. I don't know if you guys have brought this up in your shows yet or not. I have listened to both of them so far.
Uh-huh.
Is that when you're doing a festival, you kind of like you got your network of people who are going to, and it's an ever expanding net. Like every person you meet, it's like, hey, let me add you on Twitter, and then you start following what they're seeing as well. It becomes this weird little who do I trust game for who liked what and who did not like what, because you know you'll make changes. Like if you get in the past, I've had it where 95% of the people I know who saw a certain film said they did not like it. I'm like, okay, you know what? That's a sign I need to bail on this ticket. But there's other times it's like, okay, Andrew says he doesn't like this. Is it possible that I'm going to disagree? Or should I take his word and see something different? That's the game of chicken that you play during the festival.
If I end up hating Intruders tomorrow, I'm going to blame you. Not because you recommended it, but because you got me to bail on Cinema Novels.
Oh, no, no, no. There's no way you were going to see anything as bad as Cinema Novels. I've said, there were two movies I disliked. That was the one I flat out hated. That movie has no idea what is even going on within it. You know, there is no scene in that movie that has any cognizance of the scene that just happened. And unfortunately, we know. You know, if it was just a series of vignettes, that's fine. But no, it's supposed to be this one great big long arc, which it is not. So, Intruders, I take no responsibility for Intruders. You very easily just could have gone to the cafe and had a sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Because Andrew,
and nursed it for 2 hours.
Right, and you have to remember, this is a Korean movie. But in the synopsis, I saw the words quirky, I saw the words comedy, and I saw the words kidnapping. Those three things don't generally go together in a Korean
film.
Film. There yes, thank you.
Wow. It is welcome to day 10. Welcome to
and it is
20
two,
to 3.
And, backdrop was the word I was really looking for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I think what I want to bring up is Miyazaki.
Of course you
okay. Do. Sure. Wind Rises. Guys, I love this movie. It was just a wide-eyed, childlike moment to watching this movie. Yeah. Like, I already know that there are going to be people out there who are going to not like it. Only
why?
Because they're going to go to expecting the general Miyazaki film that comes out, the fantastical adventure movie. Okay. And they're just going to automatically go, why is this animated?
Yeah.
And to them, I weep.
Yeah, okay. Tell me something. Where did you come down? I know it's not Hayao's film, but where did you come down on from Up on Poppy Hill?
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Okay, because this to me feels a lot like that movie.
From Up on Poppy Hill.
Actually, I think that would actually make a really good double feature of Wind Rises first and then Poppy Hill second.
I'm not sure, because the thing with the Wind Rises is that it's... It has so many elements to it that's running all the while. You have Jiro, the main character, who is basically our center point, where we're following not only his dreams, which have some freaky ass dream sequences. And am I the only one who watched I don't remember the guy's name, the person who showed up in his dreams all the while.
The Italian.
Yeah. And realized that his dress, his garb looked a lot like the scarecrow in Howl's Moving Castle.
Well, there's two problems. One, I haven't seen Howl's Moving Castle. And two, at least once or twice during The Wind Rises, I took a very long blink.
Yep.
So I might have missed that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't watched that movie in a long
possible.
While.
It's possible. Like, I'm not disagreeing. That's for damn sure.
We're seeing his dreams. We're seeing I'm going to say girlfriend. I don't know what to really call her because, you know, whatever.
Okay.
There's the sister which shows up from time to time. And there's the workplace. And throughout all of these elements, Miyazaki is able to generally put in what he puts into all of his movies, which is a fantastical element through all of the characters. It still has that caricature nature to it, that even though we're going through this paint-by-numbers biopic,
yeah,
with all of these little elements around it, we have this comedy, we have this fantasy era within the dreams, and it's just so wonderful, and it's just the great Miyazaki animation. And I literally just went, I want that song for 10 more minutes to sit down in the theater and just listen to it.
Oh, see, I was done with the song. The song was actually my least favorite thing about that movie. I kind of needed to run from the song. What was your take on it? You've been kind of quiet on this.
Because, you see, the thing is, right? Andrew here is what we call a fanatic. for Mr. Miyazaki. The reason why he likes this movie so much more than Poppy Hill has nothing to do with whether one movie is better than the other. It's that before he watched them, he knew that one was by the son,
yeah, and one was by the dad, father.
Right? So that's the only reason he likes one more than the other. For me, I actually did kind of like this movie. I definitely didn't like it as much as I do, say, Nausicaa.
Yeah.
But it was an okay movie. It was decent. Not the best of the festival for me, but, you know, definitely one of the ones up there.
Yeah.
But that's all I can really say about this, because I don't have... If you know, we were talking about, say, Mobius or something where I had that impetus to like it already, then no, I'd be giving you superlatives like nobody's business. But,
I just want to point out to your listeners, while we have a second here, that they can, I'm sure, hear the calamity going on behind us. We are in a jam-packed diner, and one would think that we are sitting here at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. No, no, folks. No. It is quarter to three. Deep into a Saturday night, and this place is rammed. So we do apologize for the racket, but believe me, we tried to find somewhere quiet. It was not to be tonight, apparently.
So such it happens sometimes. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to bring up, but there's one movie I want to mention at the very least. Douglas has been kind of hinting at it since, because you saw it earlier in the festival. I saw it today with Ryan. Reitman's Labor Day.
Oh, Labor Day.
Yes, how did you guys like that?
I could really go for some pie, actually. I might have that before I go.
I think that is the least Reitman movie I have seen yet.
Yeah.
Which is not to say, like, he's done he's adapted from books more often than he's had original scripts. Like, of his five films, three have been adapted from novels. And this one really felt like he was stepping outside of himself. I was okay with it. I didn't really fall for it. There's things I liked about it. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's bad. But this to me was messier than Can a Song Save Your Life? How did you come away? We didn't really talk about it after. We just talked about how we wanted pie and milkshakes.
Yeah. We were too busy running over to the next theater, which kind of peed me off, only because I've mentioned it before, and it's kind of the same thing I mentioned with Wind Rises. When there's certain films that I kind of like so much,
you want to sit.
I want to sit and just
bask.
Just spend a moment just going, I just saw that.
Yeah.
Right? I like this movie. Right. I liked it a lot.
Labor Day? You liked?
I like Labor Day.
Really? Okay.
Like, it's this weird thing where for the entire movie, it's like there's this point where you're realizing that you're almost waiting for a shoe to drop. Right? You're waiting for something to happen, because if no one knows the plot of this movie, it's Josh Brolin is an escape convict. And he manages to hold up in this house with Kate Winslet and her son for the Labor Day weekend, for this 4-day weekend. And it shifts from being this weird kind of okay kidnapping situation to an actual romance.
Yeah.
And for like the first half of the movie, even with the soundtrack going, it feels very much like something is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And you're just waiting for that to happen. And slowly but surely it turns into this romance where I'm like, I kind of get it. I kind of get why, as crazy as it would sound for that to happen, it happened.
Well, you see, this movie, it's hard to say that you don't like this movie, because it is technically sound, right? Everything, all the bits and pieces, right?
Yes, except I don't think its soundtrack knows what's going on the screen. I noticed that a few times. It's like, especially, watch anybody who sees Labor Day, watch when they start cooking pie. I swear to God, the music, the food stuff is beautiful and makes you very hungry. The music that's playing has no idea that any of that is going on. It has no clue.
Well, I don't know. I guess I didn't pay that much attention to
you'll
the soundtrack.
You'll see. You watch.
I'll watch it again and see. But all the pieces are good pieces, right?
Yes.
The acting is great. The directing is great. Everything works by itself. And Reitman did a really good job in kind of keeping some form of tension for an extra long period of time, right? But I think those pieces apart, or they kind of stay apart and never really come together and make one good whole, one good piece of drama or whatever this is supposed to be. And I think that tension that he builds just never, you never get that payoff.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, whenever you have a movie like that where there's all this tension, you kind of beg for a bit of a, some sort of climax. And that doesn't happen in this movie.
Yeah.
It kind of just slowly burns out. And I think that is probably what I like least about the movie, because while you're going through it, you can see it and you're like, what? So the situation that Reitman sets up, you try to think to yourself, how can this end? Right?
Yeah.
How does the happy ending work? Does the sad ending work? Does somewhere in between work? And in my mind, even before the actual ending came into being, I kind of realized that no matter where he goes with this, unless he pulls like a Von Trier and a Mobius-esque sort of thing, something out of left field that I'm like, whoa, I never thought of anything I could think of, just never quite worked.
Okay.
And even what he did, for me at least, just didn't quite work.
Okay.
And didn't quite give me that feeling of, yes, that's where this needed to go, and this was, you know, the great story I was hoping.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a sappy dude.
So am I. Again, like, you know, like, I'm the guy who fell headlong for Sunshine on Leith, which we watched tonight.
Oh.
But I, you know, I do sappy to a point, and this kind of missed my point, unfortunately.
Like, Sunshine on Leith, I was iffy on for
no,
reasons.
No,
mainly
no,
because,
no.
Number one, like, I take issue with certain movies when I feel that musicals have actors who don't sing that well.
The actors in this movie sang very well.
I didn't
very, very well. There's one guy who's not technically proficient, but even he still sound like pulls it off in a gruff Tom Waits, Bob Dylan kind of way.
Are you talking about Peter Mullen?
I am talking about. I'm talking about Tyrannosaur himself.
Tom Waits is in this movie. I have to watch.
I wish Tom Waits was in this movie.
Peter Mullen sounds fantastic for how he does his piece.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have to think about it more. Maybe when I watch it again in another 6 months,
yeah.
I'll like it some more.
Sure.
But I don't know. Maybe I was still basking in Labor Day.
Possible.
And I was just not ready for that movie.
Yeah.
Which is why you saw me kind of just get up.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, okay, we're done.
Okay, so I have a question for all of us. Your question is a little bit different.
Okay.
We've essentially watched all the movies we're going to watch.
I've got two.
I've got two. He's got one. So we're pretty much done, right? What was, and this is your question, Brian, what was your favorite movie of the
Whole thing?
Yeah.
I have had trouble getting past 12 Years a Slave. I saw that on day three, early in day three. So it was like my fourth film or maybe my third film.
Yeah.
And it has stayed with me through 20-something screenings, through more than a week. It is powerful. It is unflinching. I described it all week as Steve McQueen channeling his inner Terrence Malick in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait to see how people take to it.
Okay. I'm really hoping that either that or Dallas Buyers Club is the people's choice, so I can watch one of those. Andrew, your question is, what is your second favorite movie? Because I know your favorite is Miyazaki for the reason that it is Miyazaki.
Miyazaki, yeah.
So what's your second favorite movie?
I think I might give it to Mobius.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a good pick.
Because the thing about it is this, right? Like, we talked about it, and while the word enjoy isn't something that you want to throw too quickly at that movie.
Right.
I kind of always want to give love to movies which do this. Throw something completely from left field to you, a completely dialogue-less movie, and I can't remember a moment where I wasn't completely engaged and in complete understanding of what was going on between the characters and the story. Like, I was making the joke, I was talking to Douglas about this the other day. I'm like, when you watch that movie, like, part of it is I want to applaud the guy for coming up and saying, I want to do a dialogueless film. Another part of me is saying, when he thought of that premise, there are no words you can say after that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore he just makes a dialogueless film.
Yeah.
Right? And I almost, there was a point like later on when there's at the prison, when I'm like, okay, now he has to talk to him, because what else are you going to do when you show up?
No, doesn't
say a word.
Yeah.
And I love it for that.
Yes.
And I can't wait to introduce more people to this movie, Damien being the number one on the list.
Oh, yes.
Like, I'm going to be very careful of who I give this movie to.
Oh, you have to be.
But I can't wait to give it to people.
There are quite a few movies we need to give to Damien to watch. My number one, and by the way, Mobius is beaten by just a hair. I think if I really have to settle on one movie, it would be Blue Ruin. I adore that movie. It is not dialogueless, but it's very close to it.
Okay.
And it's a classic revenge film, but it's done a little bit different, because usually, you know, the revenge film, you see the big act at first, what the bad thing that happens, and then after that, the victim is trying to get back at his captor or whatever that person did to him. This movie kind of starts in the middle of that story. So something huge has happened already, and as you go along, you kind of find out a little bit more and a little bit more until, you know, everything comes to a head.
Yeah.
And the only reason any word is spoken is to give you that hint, that extra kind of like, this is what happened, or this is where I'm going. The dialogue really isn't used for any reason other than that. And it's just fantastic. I don't think it's that long. It might be 2 hours, but it's just great. And
it's the kind of film, like, to me, that kind of strikes me as the kind of film that you really spent this time and money to track down. Because, you know, something like, for me, for 12 Years a Slave, or you know, Wind Rises, you were going to see that eventually, whether it took months or years,
exactly.
Like, it was going to come out. Blue Ruin, you might never be able to track down.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it might just wither on the vine, as good as it is.
Yeah.
It might just not get any kind of traction in terms of being able to get out there. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, I'd say, well played. Like, if that's your movie of choice, you've gotten the whole point of this whole caper.
Exactly. This is why I flew thousands of miles to come watch movies on my vacation.
Yes.
I came to see Miyazaki.
Well done. Well done.
Anyways, I guess we can end off there.
Is my website fixed yet?
No, it's not. I'll fix it in the morning. That's been the podcast. There should be one more of these before we head out. But thanks so much for talking with us, Ryan.
My pleasure, man. I'm happy to be on your show in person. I think this is the first time that's happened. Actually, I'm dead certain that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah, it's the first time, because I wasn't doing this last year.
No. And you know, like I said, the hashtag gets started now.
Damien
does TIFF 2014.
I'm sure he is the number one guy who wants it to happen at this point.
Send your donations now.
So, that's it there.
That's it.